The opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints expressed on today's radio show and their guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions, beliefs, and viewpoints of Easy Way Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Forget About It Show with celebrity master pizza chef, celebrity pizza guy Nicholas Rubin, and fashion wellness coach Penny Latham, as they share their experiences, their connections, their knowledge, their wisdom about what you do and you don't want to forget about.
Hey, Dorn. Welcome to the Forget About It Show with celebrity pizza guy Nicholas Rubin, and we have the lovely Penny Latham, and we have a great host, a guest, sorry about that, with Erin Young. And we have also world news, weather, and the celebrity peach guy recipe of the week. And here is my Miss Lovely Penny Latham.
Hey, everybody. How you doing today? And we are up here in Northern California. We're getting ready to do some awesome things. We've got a great business opportunity that we're getting ready to start. And how about getting some pizza out there? And so that's what we're going to do, because that's what Celebrity Pizza Guy does best. And
once they taste it, forget about it.
Once they taste it, forget about it. It's right. And all we do is make pizzas and take them to places. And I'm not kidding you. They go crazy over them. And they keep asking us, when are you going to open a place? When are you going to open a place? So we're finally going to do a little
opening
thing.
Opening a place.
We're opening a place on Saturday.
A quarter mile from the house.
I know. I can't believe it.
I can walk to work. Forget about it.
Which, how many of you would love to walk to work? Oh, my God. That would be awesome. That would be so good.
Well, I used to ride my bike.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was when you were a little kid, though, huh?
I could ride my bike 10 miles if I have to.
Wow.
I do it every day.
We'll have to get you a bike then, I guess.
I don't need a bike. I can walk.
Anyway.
I'm going up a hill.
Well, so today we're going to have an amazing guest today, and we have our Forget About It news that we're going to be talking about. And, you know, the one thing that most people are aware of is that some people get tired of their jobs. They want to look for a new job. They want to reinvent themselves. And the best advice that NBC News is saying is that in leaving your job and getting a new one and reinventing yourself, you want to start preparing yourself before you jump into
a new
search, or start networking. Start finding out what's out there, who is doing what. If there's too many people doing what you desire to do and what you're talented at, think about what building a relationship is about with people. And, you know, that really is the truth of it. I mean, you and I have been successful in everything that we've done in this new venture by reinventing ourselves, but yet reaching out to people and talking with people and finding out what they're about and building those relationships. Because those relationships are what are going to sustain you in everything that you do.
And they come back at you.
They do. And they come to you because they're drawn to you. And, you know, so the other thing, too, is that, you know, people don't realize that, you know, there's hidden jobs that you can really look into. And if you are building those relationships, those hidden jobs will come up to you. And number five, you know, is have fun. Do what makes you have fun. I think
number one.
What's the one number one?
You have to be happy in the job that you want to do.
Well, exactly.
If you're not happy,
exactly.
Forget about it.
How many people in America or all over the world are not happy with the jobs that they have? So once you've created that and you are happy in the job that you're doing and you're doing what you love, the
you
passion
want to have a job,
that
a
you
passion
have
of life and love that you want to do and go forward with it the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
Instead of that one job, instead of breaking up and going to another one and then going to another one. Stay focused.
Yeah, stay within the same channel.
Stay channeled and go forward with what
right.
you want in life to make you happy.
Don't get distracted. But here's the thing. We're bringing a guest on today that teaches you not only how to have the great job and how to have the great business, but how about not being shackled to that business? How about doing something you love, waking up every morning, and not having the ball and chain, knowing that you have created a business that works for you, not you for it.
And really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what we're looking
for. Whoa. That's called forget about
it. That's called forget about it. That's a forget about it moment. So we're going to go on to commercial. We're going to bring our guests on. And you're not kidding. You're like, he's so real about this one.
No.
Anyways, we're going to go to commercial.
Well,
what do you got to say about the weather? That
it's 100 degrees in Redding, California right now. Probably about 85 in L.A. and
you don't know.
About 82 in Florida. And it's about 85
this
in New Jersey.
This is slapstick.
No, it's not. The weather. I have a memory bank.
Okay. All right. Well, this is good.
And
what?
Forget about it.
We're going to go on to commercial. Thanks.
Welcome to EasyWayBroadcasting.com, your one-stop shop getaway to corporate Hollywood. EasyWay specializes in red carpets and will enhance your experience. EasyWayBroadcasting.com is top-ranked on Alexa and houses the EasyWay TV Film On channel, podcast radio station, and EasyWay magazine. Learn more about the beautiful EasyWay Angels and follow their events calendar. For more information, visit EasyWayBroadcasting.com and click on About Us or call 424-209-9290. Don't forget to subscribe to the website and follow EasyWay on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter pages for amazing updates and opportunities. Remember, that's letter E and letter Z because, well, we do it the easy way.
Hey,
EasyWay Magazine is your best vehicle to advertise in if you would like to reach a quality database in corporate Hollywood. Not only will you read the stories and enjoy the content, you will also get to interact through social media and get to meet who's featured at the events, as well as get exclusive interviews from your favorite celebrities. EasyWay Magazine is a Los Angeles and Orange County-based magazine, but also reaches an international audience. Subscribe to EasyWay Magazine today by following EasyWay Broadcasting on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or EasyWayBroadcasting.com's website. To advertise, call 424-209-9290 or email contact at EasyWayBroadcasting.com. That's letter E and letter Z, because we don't do it the hard way. We do it the easy way.
Hey, that's called the easy way.
That is the
easy
way.
Well, listen, you have to listen to the easy way and follow him and get it going with him, because he's got all kinds of different attributes,
and he can get you out there. And you know, the main thing, the reason why we've gotten with him is because we want, you know, we wanted to get our product out there, and you know, he is amazing at branding. And the most important thing is that, you know, you want to make sure that you get out there what it is that you want to do. You know, I mean, and Eric Zulli's the guy to go to.
And if he doesn't, then you say, forget about it.
Yeah, so anyways, but that's not forget about it. But anyway, so we're bringing our guests on today because,
not all the means,
because
yeah,
we met him through the easy way and you know, at the Influencers Unite and you know.
What do you mean? We didn't meet him at the Influencers Unite.
Well, we're going to.
We met him July 30th.
July 30th. No, I'm talking about our guests. We're
talking easy way and we're going back and forth now.
Yeah, we are. So anyway,
to promote easy way.
Yeah, well, we're
you know.
Yeah, well,
the guy who got us to where we are.
We are.
Someone.
Yeah.
In a way.
So we've gotten to where we're at now, and now we've got our fabulous show, and we're going
to
bring on Aaron Scott Young, who is the CEO of Laughlin Associates. He's an author of the book, The Unshackled Owner, and that is exactly what I was talking about earlier, is that, you know,
being shackled to your business.
And you know, everybody gets that way. It is such a thing that happens, and so we want to bring him on.
We are going to bring him on. Mr. Aaron Young.
And Aaron Young, are you in queue?
Aaron Young is in the house. He's in the room.
There
you go. He's in the kitchen with you guys. What are you doing?
Welcome,
and if we can't figure
out about it with Celebrity Pizza Guy, Nicholas Rubin, and the lovely Miss Penny Latham.
Yeah, I'm a fashion wellness coach, and you know, we really are about creating, you know, a good feeling for everybody and helping people to get their message out there. And you have an amazing message, and I worked with you on the magazine, with Easy Way magazine, and you know, the most important thing is what you teach is incredible. I mean, I cannot believe some of the things that I read about you. And you know, we want to get to know you, and so the most important thing. So
here,
let me ask you something. Where are you from, first of all? Let's start with that. Where are you? Where were you born and raised?
Well, I was born down in Southern California, down in Whittier, California area. But when I was about 9 years old, my dad, the business he worked for, transferred him up to Portland, Oregon. So I grew up in Portland, Oregon, and it's a great place to grow up. A great city. Big enough to have all the stuff you want, not so big that, you know, you kind of get lost in the crowd. About 2 million people now in Portland.
That's a lot.
So I married my wife. What is that?
He's saying there's one downfall. What's the downfall? I mean, he just like had to add that.
It's called rain.
Yeah. You know it's the rain up there.
Well, that's how you have green. That's how you have trees and lawns. And
I love it.
Welcome to California.
And you don't have a drought. Nobody in Portland's painting their front lawn green or putting an
AstroTurf
like
right.
I'm seeing. So I grew up there, and then I met during the kind of the college years. I met when I was 21, 22 years old. I met a girl named Michelle Pearson, and we went on our first date in September and got married in February, and we just celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. Best decision, best thing I ever did in my life was ask that girl to marry me. And so we've raised 4 kids, and we have a couple of grandkids, another one on the way, and we live on a little farm, 25 acres outside of Portland. And that's just, so I was born and raised. That's kind of how I grew up and what I'm doing now, I kind of, we have a home on the Oregon coast and the farm up in the mountains, and we can kind of go back and forth, and it's a fantastic way to live.
Well, that's awesome. That's really good. I think that, you know, you are in a beautiful country, and, of course, being, you know, from Los Angeles, I graduated high school there, and that's a pretty good deal. And, of course, Nick is from, you know, the Jersey coast, so he doesn't have a clue except for our experiences down there with all the red carpets and whatnot that we've done down in Los Angeles and the catering we've done. But when you go up north, like where we are and where you are, there is a lot of colder weather, there's rain, there's, you know, a whole different thing. And years ago I went to Pike's Place Market. I love that in Seattle. And, you know, it's absolutely beautiful. But Portland is a very well-known city, and I think that that's awesome. It's a great – I think it's a great personality of where you're at. And now where did you go to college? You moved up there. You have your beautiful wife and your kids. And so where did you go to college?
Well, so I said during the college years, but let me be super clear. I went to only 1 year of junior college. And so I was never a fan of school in high school. I mean, I graduated. I got a 1.9 GPA and didn't have enough even to get into the state school. So I went to a year of junior college. During that time, I started my first real business that had a payroll with other people working for me. And by the time, you know, it would have been the time to go to the second year of junior college, I was making so much money, had so many clients, was doing very well, and I couldn't see any reason to go back to school to pursue. Really, I didn't have any idea of what I would pursue. So I started businesses, and that my first real company back in 1980 was the Christmas of 1982. So really, we started in earnest in 83 and built that first business up to 5,000 customers that we serviced every month. And I've just kind of had this string of companies that I've either started or purchased over the last 34 years. That's what I've been doing with my time.
Well, that's awesome. And I think that, you know, it is funny how we all, you know, start our childhood and how we get into our business. And, you know, some of us go to college, some of us don't do well. And, you know, it's funny how some of the most smartest people in the world are the ones that didn't graduate college. And,
yeah, you know, Penny, 80% actually a little, just a nudge, over 80% of the world's billionaires do not have a college degree.
Isn't that incredible? I mean, my God, that's an amazing finding.
And they had ADD.
Yeah, now they call it ADD. You know,
I really believe that.
Go ahead.
College is great. College is great. I'm not against college at all. I'm all in favor of it. But the truth is that if you're born with the natural inclination to be an entrepreneur, it's difficult to stay inside the rigid schedule of you have to take these classes to get this piece of paper that says that you're now qualified to apply for that job. Now, if you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, obviously you need to have a degree. You need to have specialized education. But most entrepreneurial work doesn't require that specialized education. Now, Steve Jobs did, one or two semesters up at Reed College in Portland, Oregon, and then he dropped out. Bill Gates was up in he came from Seattle, but he was at Harvard and he dropped out. Michael Dell, and on and on and on, you know. So college is great, and I'm a big proponent of education. I think that you shouldn't just limit yourself to education in school. You need to be a lifelong student. And
you know, that's true. That's very true. I think life experience really does teach you a lot. I mean, my wellness background, yes, started with school and whatnot, but I lived it. I took care of people. I lived and saw everything that happened. And by the time I got to a certain point, the doctors were asking me questions. And I really do believe that anything you do in life, you're absolutely correct. It is something that you learn by watching and doing yourself. And wouldn't you agree that hands-on really has a lot to do with it?
Yeah, and most real entrepreneurial – now, there's a lot of people who claim to be entrepreneurs. But I would kind of at least challenge the definition, because most of the people that I meet that say that they're entrepreneurs or they're business owners are really just self-employed. They don't really have a business. They have a job, and they might have people working for them, but they're the most critical employee in that business. And if they don't show up, if they don't innovate, if they don't if they're not there to solve the problems and put out the fires, the business doesn't survive very long without them. And so
that's true. That's very true.
The difference between somebody who creates businesses that can be sold, like I've done a bunch of times, or that can continue to operate without a lot of day-to-day management from the owner, those become assets, not glorified jobs. And an entrepreneur who's got that kind of a mindset, who can – I had a guy on my podcast earlier today, we recorded, same kind of thing. You know, he had a very simple business. They were gutter cleaning, power washing, and so on. But he learned how to do everything from the marketing to the sales to the customer delivery, all of it on autopilot. He didn't have to go clean the gutters and do the power washing. It was all – it started out that way, but he built it into a business that worked – without him being there. And
that's
becomes an asset. Becomes
right,
an asset.
Right. So, having someone that is a manager that you can trust. Absolutely.
Yeah, having management people that you can trust is a gigantic part of it, but there's so much more to building, scaling, and so on. So, you know, that's a talk we can have if we want, or we can talk about anything you guys want. But that's how I did. I didn't go to college. I started a business, and I've been doing it for 34 years.
Well, that's cool. Well, Nick has something here he wants to ask you. So what is it you want to ask him?
I'm going to ask him. Well, actually, you have been on – Aaron has been featured in Forbes, CBS, Entrepreneur, ABC, Inc. Dot, and NBC.
Oh, yeah.
So what did you do with all these developments of communication?
Well, you know, here's the funny thing. Here's what I've really learned. I've been interviewed, and I've had feature articles, and I've also just been interviewed and been part of an article. But they've done features on me in Forbes and in Inc. And there's a lot of stuff that you get recognition. My experience is that getting those kinds of placements in magazines, on their websites, on their television shows, on the radio shows. I've done a lot of national radio shows, you know, that are syndicated all across the country. it's great for resume building. It's great for getting the next interview. But it's rare that you get people that just all of a sudden flood your website because you got an article written about you in Forbes. What it does do, though, is it gives people that are coming to you through your own marketing channels, it gives them an extra level of confidence. It's just another little
– There you go.
Another little fear that gets removed because they figure, oh, if all of these sort of trusted or at least acknowledged big media outlets want to talk to this guy – or it's the same thing as when you're speaking. You know, for me, it's not like I get a million sales right when I get off the stage. But the fact that I'm up there on the stage makes people think, oh, well, maybe this guy knows something that the local person in my neighborhood doesn't know because this guy is being put up in front of 1,000 people. So that's, I mean, what do you do with it? It builds your resume, but nothing can replace your own specific marketing, your own brand building, your own touching the customer. Just like with your pizza, you know, it doesn't matter how much you get on the radio and talk about the great pizza that you make. And by the way, you don't remember me, but I did meet you that night there in, was it Dana Point where we were? CLB at Dana Point, something like that. And I met you, and I did sample your pizza, and it was phenomenal. And but if I heard you on this radio show, I wouldn't like call up and order a pizza. But when I stood there and I actually saw the person and I picked up that slice and I put it in my mouth and thought, oh my gosh, this is amazing. That's where all of a sudden you want to do business. How do I buy them? Where can I go get more of this? Where can I bring my family to taste this? Right? In all of our businesses.
Right.
Yeah, you're going to get promoted. You're going to get acknowledged. Those things help get people in the door, or at least get people to say, yeah, let's go to this one. Look at Yelp. Look at how Yelp reviews drive business, right? It doesn't matter
how
long you've been somewhere. If you've got the most Yelp reviews, you got a bunch of 4 stars, 5 stars, or whatever it is on Yelp, that's where people are going to show up instead of the neighbor next door who might have better food, but worse – communication. So you want to make sure that however you touch your customer, customer becomes your biggest thing. At Laughlin Associates, one of my companies, the number one way we get new sales is referrals from existing customers. I mean, that's a big deal. It's not from Forbes.
That's correct.
Entrepreneur.
Because
so that's how I look at it, my friend. If I was close to Reading, I'd be buying pizzas.
You would. I know you would.
Okay. What we would do with our business since 1965, we never advertised. The advertisement was by the word of mouth. And when the people ate our pizza, our family pizza, they would just spread the word. And they would flock to our pizzeria where we would do 300 pizzas a day.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
And we were there for 53 years. Almost as
See,
old
that's
as
a,
you.
It's exactly. Well, no, I'm 53.
And you
that's
too,
old.
Nick.
That's correct. I'm 1 year later. I was born, well, actually, it was started in 1965. I was born in 1964. And I had a dough ball when I came out.
That's funny.
That's amazing. But, you know, when you think about that. Think about that, Nick. So there's a legacy business, right? There's your family business. People flock to 300 pizzas a day. Everybody loves it. But it reminds me, you know, there's a movie that came out a few months ago called The Founder. And it was all about Ray Kroc and how he sort of took over McDonald's. McDonald's was a one-location store in Southern California. And Ray Kroc started franchising it, ended up taking over. And because he took it from just a one store to, of course, hundreds, thousands of stores.
Correct.
He put on his business card, founder. Not because he founded McDonald's original restaurant, but he's the one that really founded the company that we know and either love
to make
or
revolve. To make it grow to where it is today.
Right.
Yeah, and so, because if you're in San Bernardino, California, at the original McDonald's, people over in Santa Monica didn't know anything about it. People in San Diego, people in Fresno, Redding, Portland, Seattle, nobody knew about it. I was just in Paris, France. You know, I was in Paris a few weeks ago, and you know, you're all these wonderful little sidewalk cafes, and then McDonald's. They're everywhere.
Bourgeois.
Yeah. So, but do you see what I'm saying is that most people create a business that it can be a great business and can support your family and do a great job for the customers. That's fantastic. But to have a business that you can sell to somebody else, you have to get beyond just the people who are born with a ball of dough in their mouth, right? You got to turn it from my personal, the place I show up every morning and I do my work and I make my money and I support my family. If you want to build a business that works without you, you got to figure out a way to duplicate yourself and to scale. And that's what most people that desire to be entrepreneurs, they just don't ever learn how to do it. So they work their butts off and they do okay. But as one of my new clients just recently told me, he said, I inherited the business from my dad and my uncle. And in our industry, mostly what happens is the founders get older and the workers get older, and then you just close the business down. I'd like to figure out to see if there's some way that we could make it into an asset that I could sell and not just have to close down in a few years. Because he said, I'm getting older.
Absolutely, that's true.
You don't want to close down in a few years. You want to go strong all the way, like 53 years,
right.
100 years.
Generation after
years.
Generation.
Well, you can't go 1,000 years because you're not going to be here. But, I have one question. Actually, it's not a question. It's called a testament.
Okay.
It's difficult to read the label from the inside of the bottle. As a small business owner, I often can't see beyond my nose. Aaron Young has been instrumental in enlightening a pathway to truth in my business. Every business owner should have a coach like Aaron, and that is by Michael Drew, author and CEO of Pendulum in Action. So what do you think about that?
He's the number one guy for getting your book on the New York Times bestseller list. He's had 88 or 89 in a row.
I'm a good picker.
And he's worked with the biggest names out there. And that was a really nice quote from Michael, because we were able to help him with his business.
So I have a question. So being that you've got this testimony about a book and everything, what is the reason why someone who has so much knowledge, what's the beneficial reason why they should have a book out there? Why should they try to write a book or at least get their point out there, their message?
Well, I'll tell you, books are an interesting and often misunderstood medium as far as nonfiction business books. And you mentioned that I was the author of The Unshackled Owner. Although I have written a book called Unshackled, it's not yet published. But I am the author of The Critical 20. I'm also the author of The Corporation Manual. And so, I have a couple of books out, and I have two more written and ready to be published. But books are really a calling card. They're a credentializer. They're the least expensive way, or basically, other than maybe a podcast, they're about the least expensive way that people can engage with you. And so a book is good as a way in the front door. To have a relationship, the customer with the author, but they're not a way to make a lot of money. They're just a way to, again, differentiate yourself from the crowd. There's a gazillion great pizza places that I've been to all over the world, but not all of them serve a celebrity clientele like you guys keep getting invited to do. And so all of a sudden, if you're being hired by famous people that I see on television, I think, well, there must be something special about that. It's the Oprah Winfrey effect, right? Oprah Winfrey says, my favorite chocolate is Moonstruck chocolate. Well, all of a sudden, little Moonstruck chocolate in Portland, Oregon becomes like the chocolate to have. So that's what a book is.
It's all about
product placement, for sure.
It is.
Well, that's absolutely true. Now you, your wife, and you have, I understand you have four children, is that correct?
Yep, four children, two married and two not yet married.
So your wife...
Right now, wait a minute. Right now you're staring at the Oregon Bay.
Right. Yeah. Oregon Bay. Yeah.
Out of your office, looking at the beauty of the Oregon Bay.
So does your wife help you with your business? And what
no.
kind of contribution has she put into this? And what does she do?
Well, no, Michelle's not at all involved with my business. But, of
yeah.
course, contribution-wise, she has her own business. She's a life coach with a worldwide clientele of unbelievable people, doctors, you know, surgeons, movie stars, a CNN anchor. She's got a great clientele, and she's an amazing person, but she's not involved with my businesses.
But would you feel that in what you do, because of how you go about what you do, that it's important to have your spouse be, regardless
oh, yeah.
of what she does, to be very supportive? And wouldn't you say that the two of you kind of let each other spread each other's wings, and you do what you got to do, and that's what makes you successful?
Yeah, absolutely. People wonder why we are kind of like still, in a silly way, like we're still kind of boyfriend, girlfriend, dating, you know, after all these years. And they say, so Aaron, what's the advice? You know, what's your marriage advice? I said, well, there's two main things that you got to keep in mind. One is you need to continue to date your wife. You need to keep planning a date, making it special, you know, trying to romance her, trying to make her feel like you're still trying to, you know, impress her and make her feel special. That's one. The other thing is, really important that you let your spouse or your partner become the biggest them that they can be. Let them magnify their talents and, as you say, spread their wings and support them. Because what happens is a lot of times one person is kind of the flower and one person is the gardener. And some people get sick of being the gardener. they don't always want to be the one with the, you know, getting their hands in the dirt while the flower gets all the attention. And so what's happened is Michelle is endlessly fascinating to me because she's always evolving. She's always doing something interesting. She's always trying something new. She's just one of the most interesting people I've ever met on the planet. And I get to wake up next to her every day.
That's awesome. And you have four beautiful children. I have three, you know, and children really make a big difference in your life, obviously. But do your children, do you follow
their
children? Yeah, how old are they, and are they following in your footsteps?
Well, my oldest boy, Adam, is 27. My daughter, Zoe's 25, Max, 22, and Chase is almost 19. He'll be 19 in a few weeks. The older two, Adam and Zoe, are both married. They both have one child, and Adam and his wife Ashley have one more baby on the way.
So you're a grandpa.
I'm a grandpa times 2.3 or 2.4 right now.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Congratulations
on being a grandpa.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
The kids have all gone off and done their own stuff, but I will say that Adam, when he first got married, he went to work for me down at my company in Reno, Nevada. And that helped him get started, and he was very good at it, but he wanted to kind of go out and pursue his own interests, which he's doing, and he's doing very well. Daughter Zoe, she's a realtor. She's got a marketing business, but she was recently hired by my wife because she was doing so well for other people.
Uh-huh.
And she was so successful for other people, my wife hired her, and now they are just blowing it up with my wife's business. And my son, Max, who'd been hired by a number of companies, including one in Reading, one in Maui, one in New York City.
What is
Reading?
Hello?
Yeah, well, but it was an interesting company. Anyway, he's gone and done social media marketing and videography, and he's got a real good eye for video. And so he was on his way between the position that he did in Maui and heading for a job in New York City. And I talked him into coming to work for me. And so he said, well, you know, I'll do it for like a couple of months, Dad, but then I really want to go to Manhattan. And thankfully, I put him to work on the Unshackled Owner Program because that's turned into – it'll be over $1 million brand this year. And so
– That's incredible.
But I put him to work on that, and he came to me about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months ago now, and said, you know – if you're okay with it, I think I'd rather keep working on this. I think we really have a cool opportunity rather than going off to do this other project in New York. So daughter working with mom, son working with dad, youngest son, Chase, who is just finishing high school or just did, is a voice actor. He's a very interesting guy. He makes money, you know, doing voices for video games, commercials, cartoons, stuff like that. So that's our kid.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing that they're doing all those wonderful things. And you know, obviously our children do follow after us a little bit, and sometimes they pick up different things that we're doing. But let me ask you this question here. Now, you had something happen to you that really kind of shook up your world a little bit. We were talking about it earlier, and you know, you said that you got into some trouble because you were that something happened to you. So what happened? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we were doing a tremendous amount of business with another company, and they were a foreign company, and my business partner and I've had the same business partner now for 20 years. We decided that maybe it was time to kind of cut ties with this company. We still really liked them, but we felt like they were out of the country, and they were pretty negative about the IRS, the SEC, and some things that they felt were really taking advantage of people in the United States. And we thought, you know, even if they got a good point on some of these things, they're kind of a hot potato. We better move away from them, which we did. And then a couple years later, after we'd done that separation, we got a visit. A search warrant was executed at our office in my downtown Portland office to get any information we had about that company.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, well, you know, I can kind of understand why they're looking at these people. Not that they're bad people. As a matter of fact, I still really admire the founder of that business in many ways. But the point was, I thought, well, there's a reason I moved away from them. And as we were gathering up all the information for this was the IRS Special Enforcement Division. And as we were getting all that information together for these guys, they said, hey, you know, this has been such a complicated case, such a confusing case. Would you mind just helping us understand? There's these names and companies and acronyms that we just don't know. Would you mind helping? And I was like, yeah, I'd be fine. So we sat down in my conference room, and I, you know, have you ever seen this signature? Do you know what do you recognize this logo? Do you know what these letters mean? And I was like, yeah, this is so-and-so, yeah. Because I knew all the people that they were talking about. And they left, and 4 months later, that was December 27th, 2002. April 24th, 2003, I was indicted by the federal government on IRS conspiracy charges. They said that I either knew, this is my business partner too, either I knew or I should have known what they alleged this other company was doing. And they never were able to prove all of the stuff that they do. But basically, we thought that was the stupidest thing in the world. How can you be in trouble for something you knew or should have known? And so we fought. We spent about $2 million in legal fees and finally just ran out of money. And the IRS, you know, can keep going forever. And so we were going to lose everything, lose our home, lose our business, because we were stressing all of our assets to pay the legal fees. So finally, I just did what 99.2% of everyone indicted by the IRS does. I took a plea bargain, and I went off to federal prison for 18 months.
Wow, that's amazing.
Not for anything I had done or our businesses had done, but because they said we knew or should have known what somebody else was doing. So I didn't know you could go to prison for something that you should have known, but you can. And so that was an interesting case. You know, but the great part about that was because the way we had our businesses set up and things operating, my wife said at least I always had money. You know, I could always throw money at any problem. And during that time, we built a beautiful home, a 7,000 square foot home. We did okay.
Wow.
Business was very good. Our personal income was good, even though I couldn't have anything at all to do with the companies during that time. But that's what you can have when you build a assets, not just, you know, glorified jobs. Like I said before, when you build a business that can operate in your absence, and you can make, you know, I made almost $1 million while I was in prison. If you can build that kind of business, you're not lucky. You're accomplished. You've accomplished something good.
So let me ask you this. Okay, so you have this terrible situation. You went to prison. You got out of prison. Okay, so for people, and let's face it, the world is mixed up of many, 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 many people. And I think that the most important thing that we need to tell our viewers is, how can people come back from something like that? Obviously, you have learned some tricks, and these listeners, they need to be able to look at this and go, wow, that really relates to me. And, you know, you're right. People, you know, don't know what the law is, and sometimes the law can grab you without you even knowing it. And so the most important thing is, how do you survive it, and how do you move on, and how do you become the best you can be? What would you say?
One question before that. If you don't know the law and you broke the law, how do you get arrested from the law?
Yeah, well, that's a big forget about it.
Well, if you don't know the law and you did something and you get arrested from the law.
Yeah, how is that fair?
How is that fair that you didn't know about the law? Answer that one.
Well, I'll tell you, I asked the defense lawyer that I'd hired. I said, I can't even imagine how we're in this situation. He said, look it, let me give you an example. He said, have you ever had a garage sale? Or have you ever sold something, like, you know, just sold a bicycle, sold a lawnmower, something like that? And I said, sure. And he said, did you report the income? And I said, do I need to report that income? He said, yeah, it was income. It doesn't matter if it was taxable, but you still had income. But did you report it? And I was like, I mean, no, I guess not. Because, you know, I just thought, well, that'd be your stuff, selling stuff out of your garage. He said, yeah, if you didn't report it, that's tax evasion, and they could put you in prison for up to 5 years. And I said, are you kidding me? So, you know, it's not like you have to be doing anything malicious to get into the situation. How do you recover? Well, most people, first of all, the vast majority of people that I met in federal prison had really done something. I mean, my bunkmate was in for 20 years because he was a pretty significant methamphetamine cooker and seller. You know, there were people in there who had embezzled millions of dollars. There were people in there who were gang members and had been involved in violent crime and were working their way down from maximum security. And now they were a few years away from being released, and they were in this minimum security place. So, most of the people there had done something. Now, whether or not their sentence was reasonable or made any sense or, you know, did any good for society, I don't know. But, and I don't want to prejudge everything that happens with the prison system. But in my situation, they said, you're no threat to society. You're not hurting anybody. You're an example to other successful business people that you need to either, you know, be a whistleblower basically, or be prepared to get in trouble. And I couldn't believe it. So how do you survive that? First of all, you have to understand that very often it's not about, I came to realize it wasn't about me as a person. I was just a file that had to be finished. It had to be closed. And they didn't need to know about me or my family or all the good things we did, or that there was no malicious intent. You know, there was no malice. There was no, there were no overt acts, right? It was just this kind of guilt by association thing. But it didn't matter, because that prosecutor just needed to finish the file. And I was one of like 30 people that were in this case. So it wasn't just like they singled out Aaron Young. I was part of the people that got caught in this big net. So
you mentioned that you had ran your business from inside there, and that's part
of
your...
No, I didn't say that. You're not allowed to run your business from inside there.
You're not allowed to. Okay.
I couldn't have any input at all. I couldn't even find out about what was going on in my business while I've been there.
Wow.
The business just had to operate based on the systems we'd set up, and it did. And the business generated many millions of dollars, and I was
amazing.
Able to make a substantial income even without touching the business at all.
So how did you do that before you went in? That really is the trick, I think, that people, you know, because you never know what's going to happen to you. And so you did this, and your business ran on its own. So what would you say would be the one important factor that made that happen?
There's not one important factor. The one important factor is you have to organize every needful thing in order to make that happen. But I will tell you, and maybe this is an interesting thing. We didn't talk about this in advance, but I have a system that I've used for all these years. You know, because yes, I went to prison where I couldn't have anything to do with my business, and I made money the whole time I was gone. But you go all the way back to when I was 19 years old, and I set up my first business. I grew up as a Mormon, and I went on a Mormon mission as a 19-year-old boy, and I had a business that was operating. I had three people working for me, and that business operated the whole time I was on my mission when I couldn't have anything at all to do with it. Plus, that was 1983 to 1985. You know, that was before the proliferation of cell phones or, of course, way before the internet. I was busy being a missionary, and I was making money every single day in my business. I had multiple cellular phone locations all through the second half of the 80s and into the 90s. I took my one job in 93, and we almost quadrupled sales in this public company that I was vice president of sales for across 350 offices. It's not because I was there all the time. It's because when you organize the right systems, the business works even without the person in charge of it looking over his shoulder constantly. And the reason my company, Laughlin Associates, we've got close to 40 employees, 50,000, almost 50,000 current customers.
Wow, that's
and
amazing.
So on. And you know, I spent 3 days in the office last year, and I have not, it's July, what is it, 12th or something today? I still haven't been to the office
yet.
Yes,
today is the 13th, today actually is the 12th, yes.
Okay,
so
it's just, we're more than halfway through the year, and I haven't been there yet. And yet, we make millions and millions and millions of dollars. I have all these people. I run it from a once-a-week video conference call with the management team. This is what you can do when you learn the formula to do it. And that's what, when you mentioned Unshackled Owner, that's what the Unshackled Owner program is. First time in my career, first time in my life, that I thought, you know, I could teach a class and teach people how I've done this repeatedly for 34 years. And with zero marketing dollars, you know, we've done, well over $500,000 the first year. Now we're just starting our second year, and we'll blow past $1 million in sales of that product this year and with no marketing. Why? Because people are hungry for the information. They want to know how to gain control of their life. And so that's what we teach them.
Well, let me ask you this. So if you were to apply what you do to something like what we do, what would be what you would create as a plan for Nick the Celebrity Pizza Guy?
Yeah, so first of all, I wouldn't create the plan. So people pay me a tremendous amount of money, but I don't do the work for them. I teach them how to do the business. So here's the first thing we would do. First thing we would do, and by the way, this is all laid out. There's seven steps that are you have to do them, these things in this order. At least that's what I've learned in my business, is to get the results. And I call it the freedom formula. But the first thing we'd have to do is we'd talk to Nick and say, look, Nick, we know you make a great pizza. We know that people love you. You're a big personality. But I know you're making all these pizzas and you're making money. But what is it you really want? I mean, tell me what you want out of your life. What do you want? How do you want to spend your time? How do you, you know, what do you want out of this project called the pizzeria? And what do you want? Because what we need to do is figure out
I would want to make the best pizza for everybody to have and for them to love. And I would also like to be sitting at the pool, chilling out.
Okay. All right. Okay. So,
Just like you.
So, okay, but so let's get serious about this for 1 second. What most people do is they say, I know I can make money if I make great pizzas and everybody loves my pizza and I get some, you know, validation by people telling me how great my pizza is. So people say, well, I can make money making pizzas, and how can I make more pizzas, or how can I make more expensive pizzas, or how can I cut my margin on my pizzas? You know, they think of that. But what I say is, the for most of us, the business is a means to an end. You know, what do we really want? Do we want to be doing more philanthropic work? We want to spend more time with our family. We want to serve in our church. We want to play more golf. We want to we want to enjoy our life, the fruits of our labor more. And the only way we've ever figured out how to do it is by doing this business. And so we think, well, how can I, you know, run faster, jump higher in the business? That's a mistake. The way you get, first of all, you have to define success. What is, if you could live this kind of life, if you could describe this end result, what would it look like? And once we know what that is, then we start to look at the business. And we say, okay, I know you're doing all this different work, but, you know, what are you great at and what do you suck at? You know, what are you really bad at? And whenever you get involved in this, it slows everything down. What's that?
That is so true. It is true. You got to look at both sides of it. You know, what I call the good and the evil, the good and the bad.
So where are you great? Where are you great? And where are you weak? And then how can we shore up your weaknesses by bringing in a couple of people who I love this expression, people who play at the stuff you have to work at. Right? How do we bring in that awesome?
Exactly.
Right?
The problem is I'm not weak.
He's funny. You know, we want to get franchises out there. We want to get his product out there. There's so many things that we have in the works right now. But he really, I'll tell you, when it comes to pizza, he is the strongest guy I know when it comes to just the foundation of everything. But you're right. He has to, like you said earlier, we have to clone him. You know, and the most important thing is when you clone people, you know, it's hard because it's hard to not, you know, it's easy, should I say, to leave things out where, you know, you try to duplicate yourself, but it doesn't always happen.
Because you really don't need to duplicate yourself. What you want to do is figure out what is your main strength, and then how do you take your weaknesses and surround yourself with people who are way smarter than you, way more competent than you in these other areas, and you stick to what you're great at. And you only do the stuff that you're great at, and you don't do the stuff that you suck at. And what happens then is all of a sudden you can be doing the things you enjoy the most. You can be maybe teaching other people, in his case, maybe apprenticing people to learn his ways to duplicate this thing that's in his blood from his birth. But you can teach that to people. But what you want to do is all the rest of it, the franchising, the finance, the marketing, the sales, the everything to do with the management of the restaurant, everything that isn't his greatness is being done by other people. And so what happens is he can even leverage even more what he's brilliant at and be able to serve even more people and be able to teach the franchisees and be able to promote the special proprietary products that he's invented over the years, and so on. So you go from being the guy that's got to be there and working and, you know, doing all this stuff, being his center of attention, to being the guy who's on the radio show, you know, going out and work, teaching the franchisees, being the brand ambassador, doing a radio show, and doing all the stuff you love. That's how you do it. And there's a step. And they can easily get my steps if they I'll tell them how at the end how they can get my steps.
Well, I think that's a great idea. I think that that's a definite.
That's
great
called a business plan.
It's a wonderful business formula. Now, you know what, we admit to you that what Nick does is he creates pizzas with
people.
Everybody.
That, with everybody, celebrities, CEOs. He makes everybody.
General people.
You know, just he creates the pizza that makes them important, and then we
like
what
I
we
said,
do.
Like I said, we were at Mary Lopez's Halloween party. 50 people at a time came in the kitchen, and I would say, "What kind of pizza do you want? What kind of pizza do you want? Kind of pizza do you want?"
And we
we're
had,
talking about 50 people in the kitchen at a time.
And we had people standing
had,
up.
I had an oven that only cooked two pizzas.
Yeah, that was
oh, wait
something.
A minute,
that oven
fun,
was something.
This is the funny thing. I had an oven that cooked two pizzas at a time.
Man.
500 people.
Talk about forget about it. So we had all these people wanting to make pizzas. And, you know,
and
that's what we wanted to do with
you. Wanted to create their own pizzas. Actually make them by hand. Because, you know, they were like, hey.
They were intrigued by it. So what we want to do is you wanted to create a pizza with Aaron Young,
yes,
didn't you?
Yes, and what kind of pizza would
so
you
what
like
kind of
here?
Pizza?
So let's hear the ingredients of the Aaron Young pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, what well, would I put on the pizza if I was going to make it? Well, I tell you what,
I like it.
I like a medium kind of a crust, not too thin, not too thick.
I got
just
you.
Enough that it'll fold and it'll hold its shape when I fold it up.
Oh, don't worry. My pizza holds.
Okay, I love that. I love, you know, my because I'm not a very spicy guy. I don't do spicy very well. So I like to order Canadian bacon and pineapple. But if I was going to order, which is not even a real
oh,
pizza.
Wait
kind of like
wait a minute. A bacon and pineapple?
Yeah, hold on. Just what I'm saying is that's what I could get for most people. But if I was going to make something, I love pineapple, I love barbecue chicken, I love goat cheese,
oh my God.
And I love really good mushrooms. So,
guess what? I just
what?
Went on a spending spree for this grand opening, and I got everything that you want.
Yeah, everything
so why don't
that
you
Jesus
come down
could
to Reading on Friday?
Yeah, right.
And make it get for sure, and I can make your pizza.
Yeah, there you go. We definitely want to do that.
That would be awesome.
Go right down the Pacific Ocean. I'll come over to you.
All you got to do is drive down I-5.
Yeah, I could fly, I guess, but it would be more fun.
It would be better, Ryan.
Yeah, well, hey, that's actor.
Yeah, well, we've got Lake Shasta here. It's amazing.
We got Shasta. We got all kinds of different places.
So we need to get your celebrity pizza guy recipe of the week, but we also want to give you an opportunity. What's the links that people can find you, Aaron?
Yeah.
Well, so my full name is Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, Scott, S-C-O-T-T, Young, Y-O-U-N-G. So if you go to aaronscottyoung.com, actually, if they go to aaronscottyoung.com, right at the very top of that page, is a
mm-hmm.
way that you can get what's called the Freedom Formula. And it's the 7 steps that I've used over and over and over again for 34 years to build multi-million dollar companies. And
that
so it's free.
Awesome.
They
saw that.
And, you know, and if somebody's out there and they say, okay, I want to learn about how to do this and, you know, what can you do for me? How can you help me? And I know almost nobody ever does this, so I don't even mind giving. If you want to write to Aaron... Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at aaronscottyoung.com. Send me an email. Tell me you heard about me on Forget About It radio show and that you're interested. You know, you want to be an unshackled owner. You want to build a real business. You want to make some real money. You want to have a life that you want to have a business that works for you, not you work for it.
You got it.
You know? Absolutely.
Well, I can teach you how to do that.
All right. Well, let's roll.
All right.
So,
good. All
here's
right.
My
thanks
pizza.
For having me on.
Wait a minute.
Oh, wait.
So here's,
we're not done
so here.
Oh,
so
you're not done yet.
So
until the fat lady speaks. I'm just kidding. Until every pizza guy speaks. Here you go. So, this is my pizza recipe of the week. I have a lobster fry diablo pizza with spicy sauce on the dough with the lobster and cheddar cheese that is white Wisconsin. And with green onion, we're going to go with green scallion, onions, and there you go. That's my pizza recipe of the week.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, if you like it spicy. Well, you don't like it spicy, so you got to
forget. I don't like
it
spicy, but I like lobster, and I like Wisconsin. I like that white cheddar cheese.
Oh, yes. That's what I use. Wisconsin white cheddar cheese. Wait
yeah,
a minute, you're taking
stuff.
My thing off here. I was going to ask him one more question.
Okay, well, you have to ask him one more question.
Here we go.
Yeah.
This is a serving from a guy, from a speaker. He says, the difficult wisdom of practical ideas will save, oh, my Lord, Aminga. Hold on.
Are you having a few?
No, the thing's going over and over.
Okay, so
I got to stop it. The distilled wisdom of practical ideas will save you hundreds of hours and thousands of dollars in achieving business success by Aaron Young. By Brian Tracy. Yes.
Brian Tracy,
best-selling author.
Brian Tracy is one of the great business teachers out there in the world right now. He's been doing it for many years. He's one of those, iconic guys. And he was the very first person to invite me to speak on his stage when I got out of prison. And I'll always be grateful.
Great guy.
And Brian has spoken at some of my events, and I just am very grateful. He's a good man, and that was a very nice quote about my book, The Critical 20.
Awesome. That's awesome. But I'm sorry for my speech there because it kept on going over. It was moving. I couldn't read because it was years ago.
Yeah. So that's awesome. So in closing, what we're doing, what exactly would you say is the one thing you want to leave with the listeners? We have about one more minute.
One minute. You have to do the
The Fashion Wellness Coach, a nutritional factor, actually goes with wellness and exercise is the exercise and getting the right blood movement going in your body and flushing things out and detoxing everybody needs to take antioxidants, but most importantly to detox at least once a month to try to help yourself to
clean your system out to have a healthy.
And we're trying to make pizzas that do that.
And we are going to be doing healthy pizza.
Aaron, one more time.
All right, Aaron, here we go.
So, what's the one word you want to say that would
say forget about it?
Say forget about it. Well, that would get to our listeners.
The one thing I'll say as we wrap up is this, guys. People want to get off the hamster wheel where you're just running hard and going nowhere. If you have a plan, if you have my formula, you can actually start to make progress with all that running. And I want to help you get off the hamster wheel and get on to making intentional progress towards the life you want to live.
Well, we will
Thanks, guys.
We will be talking to you, and we will be having you guide us through the way. And don't forget, I love you being on the show.
Thank you for being on the show.
Pleasure of you being on the show, and you're a great gentleman.
Thank you so much.
Actually, you're probably one of the best show people that we've had. And God bless.
God bless, and
all right, guys, take care of yourself.
Hey,
all right.
Wait a minute.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed our show. If you like us, email us or repost our show. Saying goodbye from Celebrity Pizza Guy, Nicholas Rubin, and Fashion Wellness Coach, Penny Latham. We'll see you next week on The Forget About It Show.